Pastor Greg. Thank you again, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Well, it's an honor to be here again tonight, and I've said it here before, and I don't know, I just keep repeating some things that I think are worthy of remembrance, not unlike Peter in Scripture, who said, I'm going to remind you of some things I'm going to remind you of some things that for your benefit. And one of them is it's just my experience. I grew up loving Sundays. I grew up, Sundays were supernatural for me. I grew up in a church where we went to on Sunday morning to hear from the pastor. But then we'd come Sunday night to hear from God, if you know what I'm saying. Now, of course, God was speaking through the pastor in the morning, but God seemed to get really intense at night. Now, and that's a good thing. We would come and we would seek the face of the Lord. And it also gave me a psychological edge that the day was the Lord's. The day was the Lord's. And so there's just something healthy about getting together like this. Now, that is not a condemnation of churches that don't meet on Sunday nights. It's not. It's so much my own personal experience. I thank God for the privilege of getting together with the forever family of God in the midst of the nuclear family that I also am obviously a part of. So I just acknowledge that it's healthy to be in the house of the Lord, and it gives the whole day to God. And boy, I'll tell you, we can learn a lot from the Jewish faith when it comes to the power of the Sabbath in our lives and the power of rhythms, the absolute health of rhythm in your life. Without rhythm, you don't have a system. And this whole thing is the solar system. Like, we're not living in the solar, we're living in the solar system. So God, who made the solar, decided to put it into a system. And that's why the earth does what it does, the moon does what it does. And if it wasn't for God's wisdom to give us cyclic activity in our lives, we wouldn't be able to make it. So God gives us mornings and evenings, mornings and evenings, mornings and evenings. And then his mercies are new every morning because we used up all of yesterday's. Come on, somebody, help me know what I'm talking about. I've never had leftover mercy. I mean, if you're around me, you know, I used it all up. And I actually borrowed some from next month. Okay, no. And so we just need to be people who understand the power of cyclic activity. You get to start again every morning. There's a new truckload of mercy for you, which is a beautiful thing. Amen? Well, it was good to be here this morning and to see the graduation take place and talk about the life of David. Can anybody remember those four points that I came up? Set the battle. Can anybody remember the next one? Walk in a cause. Yes, yes. Make a deposit. Good, good. And then that last one, use the name. Amen. A gentleman came up to me and said, do you like Chuck Gerrard? And I said, yeah, I love Chuck Gerrard because that's the song he wrote. It's the name above all names, and we will declare it. Yes, we will declare it. It's the name above all names, and we will shout it to a dying world. And so when he heard me singing that from the 70s, we all just got hippie-like. Just, whoa, amazing. It was awesome. And so I just know it is the name above all names. Man, you mention the name of any other religious leader and people are accommodating. You say God and people are accommodating. You say Buddha and they're accommodating. You say Hare Krishna. You say anything and there's just an accommodation there. But man, you say Jesus. What? Jesus, what? Don't say that. You know, and it's because he's God. And he said he was God. They killed him because he said he was God. That's why he got up 3 days later, because he was God. And his father gave him permission to get out, and he did, and I love it. Amen. And so this evening, walking in the theme of the graduation Sunday and this cyclic activity of anniversary, the cyclic activity of J-12, the J-12 generation moving on to the rest of their lives, amen, that Jesus, oh, by the way, for all you 12-year-olds over here, after Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business, the Bible says that he submitted himself to his parents. Do you have a month? Here we go. Just kidding. But you know what? Jesus, Mr. I must be about my Father's business, said, well, I guess I have to obey that dad too, who happened to be Joe, Seth. And so he obeyed Joseph and Mary. We know he obeyed them because it says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If you hate your parents, you don't have favor. You don't have favor. As a matter of fact, it's the sixth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And I'll tell you why you honor your father and your mother, even if they're drunks, because they brought you into the world. And they can take you out. Just kidding. Okay, and so, they brought, sorry. But they brought you into this world. They brought you into this world. I'm going to tell you right now, they gave you birth. And there's something holy about that, and they will always be the one who brought me here. And I'm going to honor them. How many of you are thankful the Bible doesn't say obey your parents forever? That one's seasonal. If you're 48 and still obeying your mama, then grow up-a. Get a life-a. Okay, so you'll honor them till they die, but you'll obey them when you're at home. You'll obey them when you're at home. And it's so awesome. Because if you'll obey them at home, it'll be easier for you to have the confidence for your own kids to obey you someday. So let's have fun with another character in Scripture that ties into this graduation Sunday. And his name is Joseph. And of course, we're introduced to him at the ripe age of 17. Joseph was 17 years old. And today's message tonight is called The Four Seasons of Life. And so how do you like, do you enjoy my artwork? I mean, not bad for a preacher. No response. Let's move on. Okay, and so the four seasons of life. I want to divide your life into four seasons. And especially young people, listen to me. Now, Jacob dwelt on the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha. Now, how many know if your name is Bilhah and you're a lady, how do you even get romantic? Come on, amen. I mean, Bilhah. I mean, it's just even the sound of it, she'll beat you up. You know, it's just, and Zilpha. I mean, whatever. Was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpha, his father's wives. Now look at this. And you thought the Bible didn't read like your home. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Little bit of thinking here. And is that a word? Thinking. I said thinking. Okay. Oh, Lord. No, what is it when you snatch? What's it called when you snitch? Is it snitch? Snitch. Thank you. When you snitch on somebody, I'm not going to snitch. I call it thinking. Okay. Okay. So he was snitching on his brothers. Now it gets even worse because dad loves Joseph more than all of his children. Wrong move, says James Dobson. I mean, if you love one of your kids more than your other kids, then mom and dad, like, that's not a good move. If you love one more than the other, keep it a secret. Not this dad. This dad decided to make it obvious. He says, let me make you a very special coat just to prove how much I love you, son. Now, this is not good for Joseph because he has 11 older brothers, okay? So here he is, and it goes on to say, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him. So things are getting going down here, okay? You're loved more than the others by your dad. He decides to make it obvious with a coat. Your brothers are now hating you and could not speak peaceably to him. So there's a lot of anger and stuff going on in the home. And this is the famous people of Scripture. How many just feel very encouraged today that these dudes are the people we look to for inspiration? Amen. And that their lives are examples in many ways. Now, Joseph's is an example in a powerful way. Are you ready? Let's read verse 5. I think it'll show up on the screen. And if it does, then I'll be reminded. Okay, could we read together, everybody? Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now, if your brothers hate you, it's not good to let them hate you more. Like, that's probably not a good move, but that's not Joseph. God gave him a dream, and he told it to his brothers. Now, I want you to say with me again the phrase, now, Joseph had a dream. Put a little rhythm on it. Are you ready? Everybody. Now, Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph had a dream. You got to do it more than once. Now, Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph had a dream. Now, if I was doing a God Word Art color moment right now, I would take those words and make them great big, and I'd color them and meditate upon it. Now, Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph had a dream. Now, Joseph had a dream. And the Holy Spirit would whisper into my heart and say, aren't you happy he didn't give him a nightmare? I'm going to say it this way. The will of God is a dream. The will of God is a dream. The will of God is a dream. Now, I'm having fun up here all by myself. If you want to join me, you can. But I'm under the influence right now. The will of God is a dream. 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 Not a bad t-shirt slogan. The will of God is a dream. And your friends would go, what does that mean? Well, what I believe with my heart, I confess with my t-shirt. Because the will of God is a dream. God does not give nightmares. He doesn't hand out stupid futures. He hands out dreams. The will of God is what you want in your redeemed state. The will of God is what you want, because I know there are adults in this room that prayed early in your life for this, and it wasn't what was right for you, and you're thanking God for the prayers he never answered. I want that. And God, in his mercy, didn't give it to you. And you went, thank you, God, for the prayers you never answered. Because the will of God is a dream. I tell young people all the time, there's two important days in your life. I said it in J12. The day you were born and the day you discover why. We're the only creation of God that needs to know why. I've never heard a dog go, why? Have you? Never heard a cat, why? Never heard a pig, why? And I've never even heard a giraffe. How about you? They're just too high. Never heard one. Animals don't ask why, and that's why that famous rock group sang the song, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Why do they sing that? They sing it because the human spirit must know a destiny and a purpose, and I'm here to tell you, God's handing out dreams. He's not handing out nightmares. And that's just the way it is with God. God is a dream giver. So get it out of your spirit that God's going to send you and make you something you aren't called to be and send you to a place you're not designed to go. I mean, Scott Wesley Brown actually wrote a song, God, called God, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. No, seriously, it was a hit song back years ago. Please don't send me to Africa. I'll sing in the choir, I'll tithe, I'll show up on Sunday night. But please don't send me to Africa, because the inference was is that God hands out nightmares. But I'm going to tell you, Africa's a dream. Africa's an absolute dream. As a matter of fact, if you're called to Africa, you got a funny-shaped heart. It's shaped like Africa. And the doctors are frustrated. They don't know what to do. They don't know how your heart could work so well. Or maybe it's shaped like Panama Canal. You got, it's a little skinny one. Wherever God has you, you're shaped for it. You're made for it. Now, Joseph had a dream. Some wondered if Joseph was singing, I have a dream. I have a dream and I'm 17. I have a dream. I have a dream and I'm 17 and I have a coat. Oh, I love my coat. It is a beautiful multicolored coat. I have a dream. I have a dream and I'm 17. And so he's singing this song because life's a dream. I'm going to say it again. Life's a dream. When you're under the sovereign hand of the Lord, life is a dream. I'm going to say it again. Life is a dream. Now, Joseph had a dream. And then his dad says, you know, son, I want you to meet your brothers. They're out looking after the sheep and pick up some Kentucky Fried and go meet them. Take them a bucket. Say hi to the colonel for me. The colonel was old. He was alive back then. And so he picked up a bucket of chicken, went to his brothers, and he's just so excited that he gets to serve his dad. He has a dream. He has a coat, and he has food for his brothers. And he's singing, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be. He was so prophetic. The song hadn't even been written yet, but he was singing it. This is the day. And then his brothers saw him coming, and they started singing the same song with different words. This is the day. This is the day we're going to kill our brother. We hate his guts. We hate his guts. He's a dreamer, and we're dozers. Do we have to know if they were dozers? Well, they did some dozerish stuff. Like, they did stuff that was like they fake the killing of their brother. Like, this is pretty intense stuff. So they see him coming, and right when they get to him, they rip him off the donkey, they rip the coat off his back, and they throw him into a pit. And guess what Joseph does it in the pit? I guess this isn't the day. I guess this isn't the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord. Because ever since he had the dream, things have been going downhill. And so, of course, these guys needed some money they wanted to sell him when they saw these guys coming by, this caravan of men that were on their way to Egypt. And so they pulled them out of the pit, and they sold their brother into slavery. Because every great dream degenerates into some pretty big challenges. That's just the way it is in life. I don't know why we have the assumption that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. You are shallow and nobody can relate to you. Come on. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, but not in circumstantial ways. It's never sweeter than the day before, in the sense that you will go through these things that come into our lives. So Joseph the dreamer was sold into slavery, and they began to bid for him on the auction block. Ah, 25, sold to Potiphar's house on the left. He got taken into Potiphar's house. Potiphar says, "What's your name, young man?" "Joseph." Slaps him across the face. "It's Joseph, sir." "Oh, sir, that hurts, sir." "Joseph, sir, I have a dream, sir." How do I know that Joseph had that kind of a spirit? Because Joseph the dreamer became Joseph the, obviously, I blew it, worker. And work is a four-letter word, unless it's It's six letters then. I'm going to tell you right now, young people, there's nothing more powerful than some young man or young woman that has a spirit of excellence about them, like Daniel, that says, "You know what? You know what?" I shared with some kids today. A mother came up to me this morning, and it was so encouraging to get the reports of fruitfulness through the J12 ministry. And she came up, she says, just speaking to my kids right now. And I started to talk to them about the art of over-obedience and how to honor people and honor your father and the mother. I worked at the Red Carpet Steakhouse in Calgary, Alberta. Have you heard of it? Just thought I'd mention Calgary, Alberta. It's down the road. And I worked at the Red Carpet Steakhouse close to Elbow Drive. And I'll never forget, man, I was so committed to that job. I was 16, I was 17, I was there working. And I would stay in the restaurant and repolish all the silverware at the end of the night because it had spots on it. Nobody told me to do it, but I just couldn't help it because I knew that if I did a lot with a little, someday I'd get to do a lot with a lot. And so there I am cleaning the silverware. I mean till 2 and 3 in the morning. Nobody told me to do it. I had a 4-barrel station wagon that got me home, paid $750 for it when I was 16. And kids don't drive today. They just look, okay? But again, let's move on. It doesn't matter what's going on with our generation. None of them are getting driver's licenses because they can drive in their hand, you know, with, okay, let's move on. And so I just poured my life into that place because I knew who was watching. I knew almighty Mr. God was checking me out. And I learned not to serve men with eye service as a man pleaser, but to serve God the other way. I don't know if I shared it with you last time, but man, I worked at the IGA store. I had the Del Monte pecan section. Pecan, not pecan, peas in a can. And these pecans, I would look at every one of them and I'd face them to the customers. Other stock boys were like, don't, what are you doing that for? We're all going to have to do that if you keep that up. I was like, man, I do it because I love God. And they're like, you're a Jesus freak. And I would say, and whose freak are you? I mean, I'll tell you what, there was nerve and energy. And my boss used to call me Bible Thumper. He made fun of me. And he said, you know what? You work like hello without the L-O or the O. He said, you work like that place. And I said, thank you very much, sir. And I knew God was watching. Because people who have a dream are people who have a work ethic that isn't just Protestant, but it's prophetic. And they look past the spirit of this age and they go, I am going to serve with excellence. I am going to pour it out because I know if I do, that God is watching. That God is watching. How many of you pick up a piece of paper when you see it on the ground? How many go, I don't need to do that? Don't raise your hand. We're going to have an altar call for those who don't pick up litter later on. Obviously not. But are you sensitive? Are you sensitive in your spirit to those kind of things? Are you one of those that throws your trash out the window on the highway? You better hope I'm not driving behind you because I'll check you out. I'll get close. Not really. It depends. Do you have a gun? But you know what I'm saying? I am going to never do that. Sensitive stuff. Just being sensitive. Let me tell you, when you don't have a sensitive spirit, you don't have a future, man, in the favor of God. You must have a sensitive spirit to these things. Hey, you young people, when your mother says, clean your room, when she says, I have a word of knowledge, there is a floor in here. Say, Mom, I'm going to clean my room right now. I'm going to vacuum the house. She will fall over with a cardiac arrest. And when she's breathing heavy on the floor, just say, I'll clean the whole house and cut the grass, and she'll die. And you'll never have to take care of the house again. She's gone. So there is wisdom in the I must. Obviously, I'm joking. Kind of. I really think that you need to have an I must spirit about everything you do. You need to get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord, it's morning. There is a difference. It's called living on the spirit side, and this parallels this morning's message in a big way. There's no doubt about it. That's exactly how it goes. And so Joseph was working hard, and he's watering the flowers in Pharaoh's court, and he's watering those flowers like, I'm going to water this flower like it's never been watered before. I'm going to water this flower because I have a dream, and I'm going to water this flower. And the flower's like, I'm drowning. I don't care. I'm going to water this flower. I'm going to water you flower. I'm going to water you flower. Flower, you're getting watered. You're watered now. I mean, this guy had fun all by himself because he had a dream. And there is no high like the Most High. I've never been on a drug because I'm already under the influence of purpose and destiny. You can be hurt and turn your hurt into a bottle. You can turn your hurt into a Bible college called your bedroom, which is what I did. Instead of taking my hurt that my family went through with the divorce of my parents and seeing my dad hauled off to jail, I chose to go into my bedroom and get better, not bitter, because I had a dream in my spirit. Where do you think all this Bible college, bedroom Bible college, and Godward art comes from? Marketing? Absolutely not. It comes from within. It comes from my spirit. And that's the only reason it has life on anybody else. In Jesus' name. Joseph the dreamer became Joseph the worker. And he's over there watering his flower. Or Pharaoh's flower. But he's watering it like his own. In walks Potiphar's wife. Ooh, I love his accent. He's a foreigner. Ooh, holy men are fun to tempt. Yeah, holiness is a very big temptation for fleshly Delilahs. She comes in, he's watering the flower. She says, my husband's out of town, Joseph. Yes, I know he's out of town. He told me to take care of things and then I could have the weekend off. She's like, no, I would like you to draw water for my bath. I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't do that. You will do what I say. God speaks from the heavens. Joseph,
do you have a dream?
Yes, Lord.
Do you want a nightmare?
No, Lord.
Then look into her eyes. And her eyes alone.
Yes, sir, I have a dream, sir. Goes and draws water for her bath. Somebody's saying, is this in the Bible? No. I mean, the narrative that I'm painting right now, we don't have that in Scripture. But we do have his response to her temptation. Watch this. He's watering that bathtub. I'm going to water this bathtub like it's never been watered. I have a dream. He hears the sound behind him of a woman who would love to lie with him. I'm wondering if her clothes came off. And God says, remember, look her in the eye. He turns around and he sees her. He looks into her eye. And she says, lie with me. And he said, I'd rather tell the truth. That was a joke that went over not at all. She says, we're alone. And Joseph basically said, no, we're not. I'm here. She says, what do you mean you're here? Well, I'm with me. I'm with me wherever I go. I try not to keep myself at home on the weekend. I try to take me with me. So I'm going to go with me because I want to be true to me. Because I also want to be true to God. He said three phrases that are powerful. Look, my master does not know what is with him in the house, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. Joseph basically says, honey, your husband's in the room. He isn't here physically, but he's here. Because I do what he wants when he's not around. Because I have a dream, and you're a nightmare. And then he said, how can I do this great wickedness? Which means he was not only true to his boss, he was true to himself. And then he said, and sin against God. So he was true to his boss, and he was true to himself, and he was true to God. That sounds like a triple play to me. That sounds to me like the kind of guy that's going to get through the temptation. Of course, what happened is, he turned to run. She grabbed his coat, and she was able to hold onto the coat, and he ran right out of his coat. Good move. And he ran away, and she's accused him of taking advantage of her. Because Joseph the dreamer became Joseph the worker, but then Joseph the worker became Joseph the prisoner. And the truth is, I think we're all going to jail. I think every one of us has experienced the prison of unfulfilled expectations. I don't think there's one of us in this room where everything has gone like you thought it would go. Because you see, when God gives you the dream, things begin to disintegrate in many ways. But here's the problem with believing that a dream like that becomes a nightmare, when in fact the Bible goes on to say that when he was thrown in jail, that the Lord was with him. The scripture that we have for that verse that comes prisoner, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Let me read the next verse. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So what did Joseph do when he was a worker? Worked like crazy. What did he do when he was a prisoner? Worked like crazy. You know, it's something to work like crazy when you're a worker. But when you've been unjustly accused and you still have an attitude of absolute gratitude, you are scoring points with God. And not only God, people. Because the master of the jail gave him favor. Why? Because he had an attitude of gratitude in the midst of a dream gone bad. Have the lines fallen for you in pleasant places? That's what David said about his life. David said, the lines have fallen in pleasant places. I'll share this. And I've shared it before here, but probably years ago. When I was 14, God was so speaking to me, hardwiring into my life, my future, that my bedroom became a Bible college, and the 14th year of my life was so under the influence of the hand of God. And God told me when I was 14 that I would get married later in life. So I went and told my mom. She was upstairs making dinner at 612 Oak Hill Place, Calgary. I says to my mom at 14, Mom, I'm not going to get married right away. And she, of course, said, you're doggone right. You're 14. I says, no, Mom, I'm not going to get married when people get married. Now, may I suggest to you that you get married sooner than later? Because we're getting married later than ever. And it's not necessarily the best. It's cultural. But I had a peculiar calling on my life. And the Lord says, I'm calling you to a single life. And he didn't tell me how long it would be, thank God. Because it was a quarter of a honking century. Honking. Because I didn't get married till 40. And I remember I was working on a book on it called Don't Worry, Be Single. And I had to write in the book that the lines had fallen in pleasant places. It was frustrating. It's frustrating to be single at 28, 29, 30, when you don't have the gift of celibacy. I was 32, 33, up for crucifixion at 33. I mean, it was just 34, 35, 36, 37, 30. Oh, God. What does not soon mean? Because I know what you're doing with soon and the rapture, so I'm a little nervous here. Like, we've been milking that one for 2,000 years, and so, like, how? But I knew that the lines had fallen in pleasant places. I never said, God never said it would be easy to do his peculiar calling on your life. But it would be more dynamic than demanding in the end. It's just the truth. And so I kept myself for my wife. I decided to live by example to the young people I was speaking to all over the world, saying, follow me as I follow Christ. You can go ahead and do what I do, and you'll be all right. Just do what I do, and you'll be all right. Because I had a holy fear of taking advantage of a woman. I had a holy fear. I had a holy respect for the beauty of what God made. My dad never talked to me about the birds and the bees. But there was this 78 record in our basement when I was around 7. 78 record. And it talked about human sexuality, and I listened to it, and it was so holy. It was so respectful towards the beauty of humanity, male and female. And I knew, you can't touch that. I just knew it deep in my spirit. Thank the Lord I was never taken advantage of as a young man by a family member or anybody. Because there are people in this room that do not have that opportunity to say that, and I want you to know God is a redeemer of all things, and you know that too. But if I was to speak to young people, I would say, understand this: holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is all I need. Holiness, holiness. That's where it's at, young people. Girls are holy. Guys are holy too. She's God's girl. You're her brother, not her predator. She's your sister in the Lord. How many want a little bit of this old-fashioned holiness? Kind of like to fall on us. Because holiness, holiness is royal behavior. There's a dignity to holiness. And so because of that, like Joseph, I knew that in the prison of unfulfilled expectations, even at the age of 38 and single, that it really wasn't a prison. It was God's peculiar call on my life. There's three kinds of obedience. Principled obedience, which is for everybody, and you don't, can't excuse yourself from it. God, should I obey the moral laws of, should I obey your moral laws? Is that for me or is that for other Christians? Like, should I lie on my taxes? I just want to know, Lord, is that your will? Oh, come on, get a life. And realize that you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, honesty, integrity, those are principled, obedient moves. Have nothing to do with God's will. It's already established. But after your principled obedience, you have your particular calling, which means you may be called to stringent things I'm not called to. I might be called to stringent things you're not called to. God may tell one person never touch chocolate. And the rest of us go, it's a bummer to be you. But that's Jack Hayford, one of the saints of God in his late 80s. A friend of mine, a father figure to me. And God told him when he was younger, you know, chocolate for you. Like, figure that out. No chocolate for you. Guy's never had chocolate. Boy, God's a mean. No, he's not. He's God. He's God. He made you. And if it's no chocolate for you, then it's because he's got something better for you than chocolate. In that regard, there's something about it that brings you closer to him. It's called God's particular call on you, not God's particular call on me. So go get your own. Don't judge me by your particular calling. Well, you can judge me regarding moral law, but don't judge me because I wear suits that are too tight in the morning. Decide to loosen up a little bit tonight. Nazarites, man, they can't cut their hair. Everyone wanted to be a Nazarite in the 70s. Can you imagine God saying you can't cut your hair? It's kind of like, wow, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's a prophetic single of let your faith hang out. Just be expressed. Let it all, let it go. They can't drink wine, either, those guys. And then there's pointed obedience, where you do what God said now or you'll miss the moment. Where if you don't do it now, you'll miss the moment. If you miss the moment, you don't go to hell. You just feel like, because you missed the moment. You failed to get closer. You're still saved. You're just not as intimate. So restore the intimacy through pointed obedience when God says, do this now. Religious folks love the principled obedience and they leave it there. They can't stand this particular and pointed stuff because it gets a little scary. Well, then I met my wife, finally. I was 38 and single and worshiping the Lord with one eye open. Come on, somebody. As I surveyed the wondrous crowd, that's a good place to meet your wife in the house of the Lord. Beats a bar. So there I am, checking out the congregation. I'm just joking, kind of. And I saw this beautiful girl worshiping the Lord on the other side of the auditorium, and I began to worship her. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What's her number? This was before email. And so, the spirit of the hunt came on me, and I followed her out of the church. This really happened. Church on the way in Van Nuys, California. And I says, God, give me an anointed pickup line. I know many of you have heard me say this before. I know you've heard me, some of you, but many of you haven't, and please, I'll go quick. Bottom line is, I asked her, I said to her, I love the way you worship. Her spirit was so clear. And she went, thank you. And I got 7 digits in a row, and 15 months later, we were married. And Well, I could say all kinds of condemning thought things right now if you take them that way. But don't, young people, don't. My wife will never have to wonder if I've gone back to what I did before I met her, because I've never done that. But that's but watch, that can get weird too. God forgives us. But now's the time to live with no regrets. Now, I don't know much about Mr. Krauthammer, but he's passing away in the next 2 weeks. He's a guy on Fox News. Some of you know the name Krauthammer. He's a very well-known conservative thinker, political leader, author, quadriplegic because of an accident when he was young. And he's been on television on Fox for the last number of years, and he just sent a letter out on Friday to the world saying, I'm going to die in 2 weeks. My doctors have said that this cancer has taken on a radical move, and I have 2 weeks to live. My wife and I notice he never mentions God. And so I said, Google that thing. So she Googled him some more and found out he was raised Jewish. And he really prayed hard as a boy that the Jewish rabbi would not show up for teaching on the Sabbath. That was his response to his Jewish upbringing. He prayed real hard that the rabbi didn't get there in time. Whatever the case may be, he believes there is a power and an awe about God. But he doesn't have our experience or our persuasion or our culture. But you know what he said on Friday? I live with no regrets. Now, as opposed to others that say, my life is filled with regrets. How many want to live a no-regret life? Not because you're perfect, but because you took on the spirit of a David. Can I give you the name tag of David? David's name tag is man after God's own heart. He had a name tag. God put it there. Man after God's own heart. I don't know about you, but there's only one key word on that name tag. It's the word after. Did David always have the heart of God? No, he did stuff that God would never do. But was he after God's heart? Well, according to God, that's what he was after. And so I'm here to tell you, it's what you're after that qualifies you for friendship with God. And if you're after God, if you're after it, God will honor you. And so we're almost done, but Joseph, he runs out. He's now in jail because Joseph the dreamer became Joseph the worker, became Joseph the prisoner. The Bible says he became the head guy in jail because he cleaned out the mice. He just took care of everything. The bars had never been cleaner. The cells had never been so undusty. He just knew how to be the man as a prisoner. Not a victim. He's like, I have a dream, and I'm almost 30, and I'm sitting in this prison, but I have a dream. I'm wondering if one night he was there and he was cleaning the bars. I'm cleaning bars. And this was a cloudless evening, and he was looking out, and he looked up, and he started singing, I'm cleaning bars, but I'm seeing stars, and I didn't even hit my head. Oh, he didn't hit his head on the bars. It's just that when he was 17, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to him. So he's cleaning bars. I'm cleaning bars, but I'm seeing stars, Ding dong, there's a knock at the door. The king has had a dream and he can't interpret it. We hear you're the man who can interpret the dream. Here's the big shaver, you're going to be in the presence of the king. by noon. Everyone, if you wouldn't mind, it's kind of a cool experience. I want you to put your finger in front of your face like that and look at it. Look at your finger, and if you're under 40, you can actually see it without it being fuzzy. There we go. I just went into my bifocal range there. There it is, clear as a bell. Okay, I don't know about you, but the background is fuzzy. Now watch this. Look past your finger. What happened to your finger? It got fuzzy. Because you can't look at now and then at the same time. You can't be looking at the bars going, what a drag. Because if you look at the bars, the stars are fuzzy. If you look at the stars, your present jail time is fuzzy. And it's not the focus. You see, you can't focus on this and that at the same time. You have to focus on that. And the problems of this present time are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so, we hold our finger and we declare, I'm seeing stars, even though I'm cleaning bars. Joseph the prisoner became Joseph the ruler in a day. The Bible says, and we can read it together here, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before King Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. The dream he had became a reality, and the worker prisoner became a ruler. Life begins at the dream, degenerates into work, further degenerates into seasons of injustice, and ends up in rulership. Life begins with the dream, degenerates into work, further degenerates into seasons of injustice and the prison of unfulfilled expectation, and ends up in rulership. Now, you might say, that's a pretty simple, elementary way of approaching life. Well, I can't help it. I'm a simple man. I believe that if we'll seek God's purposes, that we will work hard and we will be mistreated in the process. But if we don't change our tune in the midst of injustice because of the dream that's bigger than the nightmare we feel, we will end up, we will end up, we will end up in rulership. Rulership in our own lives. Rulership through our lives in the lives of others. By the way, guess what he got for interpreting the dream of the king? They gave him a wife. It's a weird culture. They just, it's not weird. It's just different than ours. They says, here's a wife. Here. She's your wife. Oh, Lord. They're lying in bed that night, and she's like, Joe, I love you. But, Joe, I hear you were thrown in the slammer because you took advantage of Potiphar's wife. Joe, I love you, but did you? Joe's chest fills with air.
Baby. Honey, chicky baby.
I have an affection savings account. And I didn't spend it. She says, really?
Yeah, baby. It's all yours.
That's the way I look at it. You see, Joseph became a ruler because he ruled his own flesh and he ruled his own spirit. And are there young people here tonight that would say, I want that kind of a testimony, that God gave me a sense of destiny in a dream. And out of that dream, I had to work hard and I went through seasons of injustice. But in the midst of injustice, I came to God and I gave him glory and I mentioned his name. You see, when the Pharaoh said to, I hear you can interpret dreams, you know what Joseph did? He blew his opportunity. It would have been awesome for him to let the king, yes, I can interpret your dream, sir, right now. And you know what he said instead? I can't help you, but my God can. can help you. And God knew that he would receive the glory. Because you don't look good based on glory. You don't fit the glory worship mode. You are fulfilled when he receives glory. When he's glorified, you're fulfilled. When he's glorified in your life, you are at peace. Because you know that you are the divine warm-up band of the main attraction. You are the moon who reflects the sun. We reflect Jesus in our lives. How many have heard something tonight that says that applies to me? There's something that you said tonight, even as an adult, I've had less than the right spirit and attitude towards the injustice I experience at work, in my marriage, in my family. I'm going to tell you right now, you're either seeing bars or you're seeing stars. One or the other. Whatever you focus on is what you get. Look past the experience and say, God, can you receive glory from this? In the name of Jesus.